Hear, O Israel, is the title of our exhortation taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. We have two thoughts: keep and live, observe and increase. To walk with God, we keep His commandments and observe to do according to His word. For the redeemed man, he prays, the Lord grant him the grace and strength to do so. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 33 to 48, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So here, the psalmist's prayer is that the Lord may teach him to understand his statutes, so that he may know how to keep it. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Right? If you don't understand why you should keep, how you should keep, the way you should keep, what is the end of keeping the law, then how shall we keep the law? But if we would understand, and where does that understanding come from? Well, it is the Lord that gives us the understanding. I shall observe it with my whole heart. That's so important, isn't it? To be able to observe with our whole heart, our heart wholly toward the Lord. And this is the prayer of the psalmist, and we need to pray that God may incline us to follow Him. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. We spoke about covetousness the last time. How important it is that the Lord would shield us, that we would be content with such as what God would give to us, that we may be shielded from the snare of covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, right, the vanity of this world that Solomon speaks about. Quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. You see there the spiritual attitude of the man of God. He's devoted to the fear of God. When the fear of God is in our hearts, we would be inclined to follow the Lord. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me to be alive, to have the strength to follow thee. Let thy mercies come upon me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me. For I trust in thy word. If you want to walk with God, you will be reproached, because the world would hate you. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty. For I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. There is a boldness to walk with God and not respect faces, whoever that person may be. God is God in our lives. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. The psalmist's prayer is that God will teach him his ways and let him have understanding, so that he will choose to walk the godly way as opposed to the vain and covetous way. He shall be established because his fear is in the Lord. This is that tarrying with God in prayer that gives him the victory in overcoming and refraining from every crooked way. If Israel would hear and obey and be inclined to receive strength from God to follow Him, then there will be great exploits, isn't it, for the Lord. Let me be a stable and mature man of God that orders my family right and my work honorably. Help me to grow to maturity that I may be a blessing to others. His plea is by seven imperatives and an interjection. Teach, give me understanding, make me to go, incline, turn away, establish, turn away. This is followed by, behold, seven words of surrender, submission, and culminating with God's supply and sustenance. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. How we need to be taught. And the psalmist says, give me a teachable heart, one that is willing to listen to the voice of God and to obey it. He is determined to keep all of God's ways that is taught to him. One of the great wonders of the present day has been the marvelous manner in which Helen Keller, the deaf, blind girl, how she has been rendered able to take her place in classes in Radcliffe College at Harvard University and to win a distinguished place for scholarship. This has been possible only through the faithful ministrations of her teacher, Miss Sullivan. The latter found her as a little girl utterly unable to comprehend the life about her and only able to make the crudest communications by signs to her family. The teacher, by patient persistence, using all sorts of objects with definite pains, taught the little girl the sign language by touch. And when one's communication with the outside world was thus established, education proceeded. How the psalmist speaks also of persecution that he experienced as a result of trusting in God's word. When we want to walk with God, we are determined to follow Him, and you realize that you are against the grind of the very grain of society. The psalmist speaks of the persecution. He has been reproached for his faith in God, for his obedience in walking according to scriptures. Nevertheless, he remains steadfast in the freedom or the broadness of God's law. He does not feel that God's law is restrictive. He understood it and he upholds it. He will not compromise it. He enjoys the blessing of its protection and safety. He sees the space wherein he can walk within the purview of God's law. And he's committed to keep it continually for his blessing because of his good experiences in the trustworthiness of God's word. He's emboldened to testify even before mighty men that they too may be humbled to worship the Almighty God who made them. He seeks to walk in the precepts or instructions of God. It expresses the idea that God pays attention to how he wants things ordered. And the psalmist devotes himself to following his will carefully. Carefully. When we proclaim the Lord's coming again to judge the world, it is a sobering truth to live, for us to live a holy life. For the unbelieving, it is a fearful awaiting of judgment. And Peter tells us concerning this judgment to come, that the world may not see it, but the people of God must see it. For in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts, where is the promise of his coming, they would say. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. God's judgment came by water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment and perdition of godly men. God is going to judge the world with fire. This coming judgment that is going to come to us is by fire. Are we aware of it? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word. Long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof that therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ye ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. So here you see Peter adds a perspective to why we need to walk soberly in these days before the coming of the Lord, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Ah, so the Lord says, keep and live. Not only living in this life, but the good life to come that he promises us, that is eternal, that is beyond the temporal earth that we see today. Can we see it with the right perspective of how temporal this world is in the light of eternity? We need an eternal perspective so that we will not be so earthbound, you see. Let us not be. Keep and live is what Moses said to Israel before they entered the promised land. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Ah, you see, there, we need to be taught that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. The psalmist tells us that when you are taught, right, we understand, and that we are convicted, and that we will be inclined to follow and obey, and therein we shall live. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Moses reiterated God's promises of long life, prolonging of the days for those who keep God's commandments. There are two elements here: the fear of the Lord, the spiritual attitude and demeanor to walk with God, and the courage and strength to do his will. The same principle is taught by James in the New Testament. He says in James 1, verse 22 to 25, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We are to keep the word of God in our hearts and apply it to our lives. Moses taught all that to the people, which God commanded him to teach. And this is what we are doing here, to teach all that Christ has commanded us, that the end of their being taught was that they might do as they were taught. They might keep God's statutes and to observe to do them. Good instructions from parents and ministers will aggravate our condemnation if we do not live up to them, isn't it? We know, and yet we don't do. That Moses carefully endeavored to fix them for God and godliness now that they were entering upon the land of Canaan, observed Matthew Henry. He says that they might be prepared for the comforts of that land, fortified against the snares of it, and now that they were setting out in the world, might be setting out well. We begin, right, and we teach our children, the things of God, right, at the beginning of their ways, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. That the fear of God in the heart will be the most powerful principle of obedience. That they might fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes. The entail of religion in a family or a country is the best entail. It is highly desirable that not only we, but our children and our children's children might fear the Lord. And you see, who to blame when the new generation, the younger ones, are not walking in the laws of God? They don't want the laws of God. They don't want what makes a happy family. They support the repeal of God's law. Should we teach the young ones the danger and the snare, or we let them have their way and say that this is the way, this is the norm? Of course, we have to teach them. That's the responsibility of parents. That's the responsibility of leaders. We are to do the right thing, isn't it? Religion and righteousness advance and secure the prosperity of any people. Fear God, and it shall be well with thee. Those that are well taught, if they do what they are taught, shall be well fed, as Israel in the land flowing with milk and honey. Keep and live, observe and increase. Hear therefore, verse 3 says, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. The promise of God is that Israel will prosper in the promised land with the blessing of God as they walk with him. There will be challenging persecutions, but God will be with his people to deliver them through it all. Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. All underhand dealing and trickery, Paul denounced. He said what he meant, and meant what he said. If we cannot spread the truth by plain speech, we cannot spread it at all, says the beloved late C.H. Spurgeon. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If men do not understand the gospel, we must take care that the fault does not lie in our language, but wholly with their blindness, blinded carnal hearts. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the lights to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what Moses is saying to the church. He's saying to the people of Israel that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is embedded in the laws of God may be understood by the people of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We realize our weaknesses. But here you see how God manifests his power using poor means to accomplish a great end. Never let us refuse to do good because our abilities are slender, that we are weak. Let us the rather yield up our weakness unto the Lord, that he may use it to his own glory. So we say we follow the Lord. You want to walk with God. Paul says we are troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul rejoiced that good came to them by his sufferings. He loved them even as a mother who strips off her own raiment and exposes herself to the cold to screen her child. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. He feareth not death, for he expected resurrection. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. His ruling passion was God's glory, and this sustained him under sickness, depression, persecution. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see how little Paul makes of trials. He calls it light and momentary, but how much he makes of glory. He labors for expressions he cannot with the utmost exertion deliver himself. The way to live above trouble is to look up. We shall grow giddy if we look down upon earthly things, for they are tossed to and fro like waters of the sea. So here the word expressed, afflictions may press me, they cannot destroy. One glimpse of his love turns them all into joy. The bitterest tears, if he smile but on them, like dew in the sunshine, grow diamond and gem. A scrip on my back and a staff on my hand, I march on in haste through an enemy's land. The road may be rough, but it cannot be long, so I will smooth it with hope and cheer it with song. May the Lord strengthen his people as we look to him. The Lord grant us his grace this Christmas season to preach forth the good word of our Lord's Savior's birth. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen thy people and grant to us thy joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Send us forth to be thy ambassadors for thy own namesake. Hear our prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.